From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, September 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chi, Shawa, Tuaksagnusam, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Coming up this hour, we preview next week's Elder Care Summit, Connecting the Community, which brings elder care providers from across Southeast Alaska. Then Search has a plan to help you get active next month with Movetober. We'll find out how you can participate. Juno Garden Club is here to invite us to their Share the Harvest potluck tomorrow, where there will also be a perfect potato panel. And we'll have updates from the CBJ Parks and Recreation Department and Juno Public Libraries. Those conversations are up next on this last Friday of September on Juno Afternoon. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clenady have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Next week, the Southeast Regional Elder Care Coalition hosts the Elder Care Summit 2024 with the theme of connecting the community. It all starts this Monday, September 30th. You can follow along and learn more at a couple of different websites, jedc.org/srec-summit, or for an overview of the entire program, you can go to jedc.org/eldercare. And joining me in the studio now to tell us more are Aaron Walker-Tolis from Catholic Community Service and Brian Holtz from the Juno Economic Development Council. Gunath Chi, Shaye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have both of you in the studio today. Wasi'iti, how's it going?
It's going good.
Great. Busy last-minute preparations for the big conference next week, which I think is going to be really cool. So, now, I want to start with this question. I think it can probably go to either of you, but this Southeast Regional Elder Care Coalition is only a few years old, right? So how did it come about? Where did it start?
Yeah, that's a question I think we probably both want to have our perspectives right on this. It started because of the reason that we're holding this meeting in the first place, is that we are seeing our elder population grow, and we're also seeing the challenges that growth is causing. So as an economic development organization, we see, you know, opportunities and challenges that need to be addressed. And then we were interested in collaborating with the experts, which Aaron represents.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that one of the big challenges is that, and I've been working in social services for 25 years now, and I think that in general, what we're seeing is that even though healthcare is really growing and booming, in general, social services is shrinking. And if you look at the numbers Southeast Conference put out recently, the only two industries shrinking, workforces shrinking in Southeast, are fishing and social services. And we really noticed the difference. And it was starting to shrink down even before COVID. But once COVID hit, a lot of, especially the in-home services to go to someone's home and just help them a little bit with their shopping, with their medication, shovel their front drive, those services, you know, due to safety reasons, really shrunk down, and it's never really rebounded. And so even though the senior population is growing across Southeast Alaska, ultimately what we're seeing is the access to care, just the care that allows someone to continue to live independently in their own home, in their home community across Southeast, that care is becoming very difficult to get, very challenging. And this coalition was put together. It's providers, it's seniors, it's advocates, it's caregivers. We're all interested in how do we support the system, that workforce, to grow again so that we can support seniors to continue to live independently in our own home communities.
I love that. So it sort of seems like it's working toward problem solving these sort of issues, elder access, getting collaboration between providers. And is that what this conference that you have all put together, is this the first one of these elder care summits that you put together? And is that kind of what this is about, is finding solutions and getting people in the same room to be able to talk about access and all of that?
Yes. You nailed it. This is the first time we've done an event like this in our region. I don't want to make statements about anywhere else, but we really just see the opportunity, because we see people that want to collaborate, need to collaborate, and we see some of the challenges. And the challenges are, Aaron's mentioned several of them, but we just need to keep up with the changes, and we're not doing a really great job of doing that. You know, the population in the state of Alaska, about a quarter of our population is over 60. You know, we've seen our over 65 population double in the last, just the last 15 years.
And in
Juneau, for the first time ever last year, we have more people over 60 than we do under 20. 15 years ago, we were worried about, we saw this trend and we were concerned about, will the seniors stay? Well, we've been really fortunate that our seniors are staying in our region, and so much so that we now have the oldest region in Alaska. But there are implications for them staying. And we're seeing implications that are, for example, in Juneau, we have 900 more seniors living alone over age 65 than we did in 2015. And that does a couple things. One, these seniors need services. They need some support. They need activities to do because they are living alone. But also has some implications that maybe we didn't really see, anticipate as well as we should have, that about housing opportunities for other people in our community as well. Because as they stay in age in place, which is what we want to see happen, we also need to build housing for younger people. So it's having some interesting impacts on our demographics and the workforce as well.
It's interesting. And I think that what's cool about this summit is that it's bringing together, I mean, one of the things we know in Southeast is the distance between all of our communities and the difficulties that that presents. I know, Aaron, you work for Catholic Community Service, which has organizations all throughout Southeast. So can you tell us how that experience that you have is going to help sort of bridge the gap in terms of bringing all these folks together next week?
Well, I think the challenge really is, you know, we don't have a mobile. It's hard to be mobile across the region. That lends itself to uniqueness in every community. Each community is different and has its own challenges. I mean, yes, we all are struggling with housing. We're all struggling with services. But ultimately, we need to recognize that each community is unique and has different strengths and different needs. And part of what we're hoping to do at this summit is bring people from all over the region together and ask them, in fact, my session that I'm doing is specifically that. Tell us, what are you most proud of in your community for serving seniors? What keeps you up at night? What are your biggest challenges? And really, what are the barriers that you see, the big ones, to providing care locally? Because it's heartbreaking to see elders having to leave their home communities because they can't live safely alone. And so many folks, I had someone down in Sitka years ago when I was talking about this, maybe 10 years ago, say, well, they shouldn't, you know, they should be where their kids are. And I'm like, they're from here. Their kids left. They're still here. And so a lot of these seniors living alone, they're longtime Southeast Alaskans, but the opportunities and the housing for their kids wasn't here. And so they're on their own. How do we pull together as a community to ensure that We also support that workforce, and part of the summit is education opportunities for people who want to become part of that workforce or people already doing this work. You know, during COVID, we were just trying to survive and keep the services going. Now it's time to regroup and say, let's re-up, let's refresh our skills in doing this really important work with seniors and with their caregivers.
So let's talk about the summit next week. It's going to be starts on Monday with a pre-conference day, mm-hmm. which many summits and conferences have now is a pre-conference day, which has some other kinds of opportunities there. But is registration still open? I know that that's still possible. I know it's Friday, so it'd be people mm-hmm. listening to this who may be in town here locally who want to join. And in that sense, who should be attending the Elder Care Summit next week?
Well, everyone is welcome, and registration is open. And if you're over 60, we have a special deal for you. It's free.
Excellent.
And if you're providing care for a friend or a relative, you're also free. We one of the tracks that you'll have an opportunity to participate in is if you're just individually trying to understand, you know, what are some things that I need to navigate as I either support a senior or I am a senior? And those are opportunities to understand better what are the services that are available to me? You know, how do I navigate a will? So we're going to give people opportunities to touch, connect with experts and get some information about a number of those categories. And then we have support for providers.
Right. And, you know, a lot of us, I was just actually talking to your next guest, a lot of folks from Search are coming. A lot of my employees from Catholic Community Service who work with seniors are coming. Folks from SALE. I mean, so this is an educational opportunity for people who do this work to sort of up their game and their skill set, get a refresher on their CPR, to learn more about aging, the brain science, how to work with people who are maybe having some challenges, cognitive challenges as they age, as well as hopefully we'll connect with more people who can join our effort and join this coalition to work together to try to break down those barriers and challenges to growing the workforce and growing the services available to seniors across the whole region, not just Juneau, but across Southeast.
And hopefully we'll have the second annual Elder Care Summit next year. That would be a goal, too, as you build the coalition. I do want to mention that this is happening at Centennial Hall, and, of course, you can find out more at jedc.org/eldercare. That gives you an overview of the whole program, and there's a link to the conference, which I'm sure has the breakdown of the whole schedule of what's happening and all of that. But there's also something interesting because we mentioned if you're over 60 or if you're providing care for someone that you can get free registration for this. But there's also a job fair that's going to be taking place there. Can you give us a little bit of information on the job fair and who might want to come and check that out?
Yes. One of the motivations for us as an economic development group is that we need workers to enter into the space. So there are going to be opportunities for could be interested in employment opportunities to meet with people that are hiring. And there are a lot of providers that just are having trouble, as we all know, in this economy, finding the workers for a position. So if you have any interest in potentially working or just understanding what would that look like, come to the job fair, which there's no cost to come.
That's what I was wondering, too, is there's no cost for the job fair, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, great. So if you're interested in this and you can't maybe make the whole conference, but you want to learn more about it, you can show up for the job fair. That's over the few days that it's happening. There will be representatives there. And I know that, Aaron, you're always looking for volunteers for Meal on Wheels.
My Jesuit volunteer who is my outreach person for my Juneau Senior Center is going to be there recruiting for more volunteers.
Yes.
Because we would love more volunteers to deliver Meals on Wheels and also help serve congregate lunch and activities for our senior center. We want more activities happening, and that's part of this whole project with JEDC and the Elder Care Coalition is trying to create more vibrant third spaces for seniors, you know, try to get the senior center network going again. A lot of seniors haven't returned to community events, and we're seeing across the nation, actually, it's a national trend, seniors not coming back out into community after COVID. And this, again, is an effort to engage the seniors and create more opportunities for third spaces for seniors to come out and come together and have a more vibrant life, enjoy their lives.
I love that.
And you can register online. You can come on Monday. from noon until 3 and just register in person for the next day, or you can arrive at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning and also register in person if you don't want to go online.
If you don't have, yeah, if you can't, don't have access to that, or if you just want to show up and be part of it. It's great. It's the Southeast Regional Elder Care Coalition. It's the Elder Care Summit, and the theme is connecting the community, which I think Juno's really good at. And it'll nice to be see people gathering from all across Southeast for this. And like Brian said, if you're over 60 or if you're taking care of someone, you can register for this conference for free. If you're a provider, you definitely want to be coming to this conference. And or if you're looking for a job in the space, there is a job fair, and that is something that you can just come and attend and meet folks from the different organizations and find out more about it. Brian, Aaron, really appreciate you coming in and telling us about the Elder Care Summit today. Thank you so much. Gunath Cheesh.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We'll take a break, and when we come back, Movetober from Search looks to keep you active next month.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Listen to the stories. We cried and we laughed. Lessons from our history, but not of how we go back. 'Cause we strive to move forward, a vision of what we can be. Full is our circle, complete as you and me, and we'll fill it with love, fill it with joy, and we'll fill it with pride. A vision of what can be, my first and last, 'cause I love you, my first and last, 'cause I love you, my first and last, 'cause I love you, I love you, I love you. My first and last, 'cause I love you. My first and last, 'cause I love you. I love you. Ooh. Ooh. My people, I come to you as natives, hand in hand. Shift of a paradigm.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's Ka-Chung with Our Stories. He will be part of 50 Fest, KTOO celebration, celebrating 50 years of public media right here in Juno. You can find out more about that at kto.org/50-fest. Every movement counts. And this next month, Search is offering a physical activity campaign called Movetober to make things easy and accessible for you and your friends and family. It's for all ages. And, of course, it starts on Tuesday, October 1st. You can learn more at search.org/Movetober. That's search.org/Movetober. T-O-B-E-R. And joining me now are Carrie Johnson, Community Wellness Supervisor at Search, and John Brett, a Project Manager from Search. Gunath Cheesh, Hatye Yadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both on the show today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Great, Boston. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. Thank you so much for being in here and talking to us about getting moving. So I'll ask the question and either of you can take the response. But what is Movetober and how did it come into being?
Well, I'll give that one a try, Boston. Movetober fitness campaign is in its third year. And the goal of the program is to motivate Southeast Alaskans to move daily, whatever type of activity works for them, indoors or outdoors. Participants are encouraged to make a fitness goal and then track their daily active minutes to improve physical fitness, maintaining both mental and physical health. And this can also help ward off seasonal affect disorder, otherwise known as SAD.
Yeah, it's as the light goes away, right? We sort of retreat inside and kind of just don't go out and do anything, and our physical activity gets less and less and less, right?
Yeah, it's a domino effect with lack of vitamin D and pressures from work, and all that overcast weather can induce a form of disorder that can be warded off through this campaign.
I love it. And Carrie, as the community wellness supervisor, obviously that is important in terms of getting us moving and getting us active, especially as it gets darker. But who should get involved in this? It says for all ages, but I'm assuming that there might be specific people that you're targeting here as well.
Really, we are just targeting everyone in Southeast Alaska. It's a regional campaign, and we, from kids to adults to seniors, everyone that we need to help motivate, kind of get their physical activity minutes. It's recommended by the CDC to get those 150 active minutes. And really, our goal this year for Every Movement Count is for people to understand that it doesn't have to be running on the treadmill or lifting weights. It can be anything. It can be from grocery shopping to dancing to cleaning, that getting those active minutes and moving are just as important every day, and it's not going to the gym. And so we are trying to focus on different things that people can do, and try and just encourage people to move and get out there. And we do know that the darker months are hard. October, it's been raining a lot. And so what do you do to combat that bad weather and to do it safely, and to just encourage and that physical activity to help your mental and physical health overall?
Tell me a little bit more about the 150 minutes. Is that something that is a guideline for the whole year, or is that specific times of year? And let me see if I can do my math. 150 minutes is 2.5 hours. Is that right? Go ahead.
Really, it's just the CDC recommends 150 active minutes a week.
A week.
And
okay.
And that could be, you know, it depends on how vigorous of activity it is. If you're doing really vigorous activity, that minutes decreases. But for some of us that all have our, you know, smartwatches and our Fitbits and things like that, if you are seeing those goals, a lot of our, you know, smartwatches will say, oh, you've reached your 150-minute goal. So that is what that means, is it's just encouraging, you know, to make sure that we're not sitting. We're getting up, we're standing, we're not sitting, we're trying to be active for those minutes each day. And it really comes out to about 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, and John, this is for the whole month of October, this particular campaign. Are there specific activities that Search is sort of promoting out there to be a part of? Is there any togetherness in terms of community?
Yes, thanks for asking, Boston. We're going to do 4 weekly luncheon moves. If you're familiar with the concept of lunch and learn, well, we're going to do something a little different on Zoom on a weekly basis during October, where all our participants will be emailed and invited in to listen in. And we're going to have experts cover some topics. The topics will include Tai Chi, using breath control, and let's see, we have some other ones too related to functional health and just advice on nutrition. So each week we'll have a 45-minute discussion, and we're hoping to get as many participants as possible to participate in those luncheon moves, because it's such an important component within this initiative.
And they're going to be, do you say they're going to be via Zoom?
Yes.
So you could be, you know, on your phone with your headphones in, taking a walk while you're listening to the Zoom. You kill 45 minutes right there of your 2.5 hours, right?
That's right.
Or you could be shopping, or as Carrie said, any activity that is having you move about, right? So it's not, I think that's my problem, is I tend to think like, oh, I have to go to the gym. I have to like make an active effort to go to the gym and make that happen. But really we're talking about not just going home from work, especially if you have, you know, a job like me where I'm sitting a lot, and then you go home and you just end up plopping on the couch because it's dark out. It's 5 o'clock, it's dark, and you're tired, and you just want to not do anything. But it's just to get yourself moving. What time will these Zoom calls be? They're lunches.
Yep, right. Okay. At, I believe, 12:15 to 1 o'clock is our typical time period, and that'll all the details will be on the invitation in our email.
Absolutely. Okay, that's great. And how do I participate in this? It brings up a good question in terms of that. You know, how do I get registered?
So what you do is you go on to search.org/Movetober. And after you register, each week the participants will submit their minutes and the fitness goal, and they'll be entered to win a prize. The participants will receive weekly emails to help motivate and get out there and move. So all you have to do is go to search.org/Movetober, register, and follow directions from there and look forward to our lunch and learns. And we're looking forward to everyone logging their minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like a fun thing. I know that the city does the thing in the summer where they walk the walkathon sort of through the southeast areas, and just to keep people moving in the summertime as well. But this is a great transition into the fall. Carrie, what are you hoping that folks will get out of being part of Movetober?
Our goals is really just to make sure that they understand the importance of movement and what it does for your health, and just trying to educate individuals that there is more than just, again, lifting weights and running, that it is possible for everyone to go there and help. And I think that also helps encourage people a little bit more, understanding that maybe they don't have to go outside and walk in the rain, that they can, you know, do some stuff at home, even, you know, doing stuff in the garden. Hopefully they won't be shoveling snow anytime soon, but that could be a possibility.
How dare you?
Too. I know, I shouldn't have said it out loud. But we want to educate people on the benefits of physical activity and moving on your mental, on your physical health, on your sleep, and also just increasing that independence there for our elders, individuals saying, you can do this. We know you can, and we're going to show you how you can get those minutes and do it safely, and maybe find something that you really like. This is something new for us. So we're doing, like I said, like John said, a little breath work, a little yoga, a little Tai Chi, something that everyone can do and can participate in.
Yeah, maybe find that activity that you haven't done before that you can keep as a habit going forward. And the other cool thing about this for me is that, you know, sometimes it feels like a lonely adventure to, you know, make sure that you're moving, and that you have other folks that you can be accountable with or share the journey with, which is really, really cool. It is Movetober. It's happening for the entire month of October. As John mentioned, you can go to search, that's searchc.org/Movetober, and you can find out everything on there, and then you can register. There's an email on there. You can get in touch if you have questions. I love the fact there's going to be weekly motivation emails coming through, as well as Zoom calls, being able to get together and helping to log these minutes. So really appreciate you coming on the show today a little bit and telling us about Movetober for this month. Next month. I guess it's next month. We're almost there, right? Tuesday is the start.
Tuesday.
Get yourself registered. Carrie, John, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Boston.
Up next, Share the Harvest Potluck tomorrow night with the Juno Garden Club. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm on fire. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's Dan Kirkwood with On Fire, another one of the musicians who will be part of 50 Fest, celebrating KTOO's 50th anniversary. Find out more at kto.org/50-fest. Tomorrow night, Saturday, September 28th, at 5:30 p.m., Juno Garden Club hosts the Share the Harvest potluck event. Bring your harvest and share tips, knowledge, and probably some good food. I'm joined now by Pat Harris and Lauren Smoker. Gunath Cheese, Shat Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Thank you.
Wow, how'd you get all that out in one breath?
I'm so impressed. I don't know. I don't know how I do it, but thank you, Pat. So this is happening at the church at 400 West 11th Street, and there's all kinds of fun things to talk about. But first, let's just set the table here. That's a pun. I didn't even mean
Very
to do
good.
That. Thank you.
Very good.
And what is the Juno Garden Club?
Juno Garden Club. Wow. I think...
What isn't the Juno Garden Club? Just kidding. No, what is it?
Okay. Well, we're just a group of gardeners or wannabe gardeners, and we share a social hour. We love talking to gardening friends. We share gardening information and invite speakers in. We have monthly meetings. It's the first Saturday of every month during the winter months, so starting this month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Going through April.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay. That's really cool. And how do people become a member of the Juno Garden Club?
Well, they show up at a meeting.
come to a meeting.
Easy enough.
Yeah, actually, the meetings are open to the public, so you don't have to be a member to come, because some of the programs are just really interesting for other folks that haven't really joined the club yet.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because learning all those tips, right? And it's junogardenclub.com. Is right. Where you can find out basically all of the information, right?
Is it org?
I think so.
Yeah. We meet at the Mendenhall Valley Library.
Oh, great.
We're starting at 2:30 for a little social hour, and then we usually have a presentation that starts at 3, goes for about an hour on some specific gardening topic. And it was just on trees and shrubs earlier this month.
Okay, that's really cool. So this Share the Harvest potluck, tell us a little bit about that.
We're both looking at each other.
Yeah, who wants to take it?
Okay, well, this time of the year, everybody's pulling all their stuff out of the ground or wondering what to do with it. But this is a really nice way to share with the community what kind of the bounty of the gardens in Juneau. And it's not just for garden club members. It's for the whole community. So anybody that's growing anything or has harvested anything, foraged anything, and they'd like to share it, this is a good opportunity to do that. So huckleberry pie would not be turned down.
Nice. And you don't have to be a member of the garden club to be part of the potluck. And is it too late to be part of the potluck?
No, heck. We don't. No, just show up.
Oh, just
we're not
show
even
up.
Sure how many
show
people up. Will be there. So,
oh, just on. Bring your. Bring, yeah. Now, there are caveats, though, right? These are things that you want people to. You don't go to Fred Meyer and buy some vegetables and make something, right? You want people who've made their own or who've harvested something.
That would be preferable. But if you want to join in anyway, I think that might work. And there's also local produce outlets, too, like Salt and Soil or, some of the local growers.
Yeah. So working to be in a local harvesting sort of situation, but they probably won't know if you cheat. Right?
We will not know.
That's right. We're not going to take DNA on that food.
No, we will.
And find out if it's there or not. That's so funny. And you're also, I want to get this out there before we talk about the fun thing I want to ask about, but you're asking people to bring canned good or dry item for the food bank, right? I know the food bank's always in need of things. So if you're making something and you can bring a little extra, but you want it to be a canned good or a dry good, yeah?
Something that will keep, We can't take somebody's lasagna and take it over to the food bank. I don't think that works.
And I do have to say, Pat, I really appreciate it. You brought me some carrots today. So you're sharing the harvest with me as well.
I'm trying to get in the spirit early.
I really, really appreciate that. So I teased it in the open, but I want to talk about this perfect potato panel that's going to be happening during the Share the Harvest potluck. What is the perfect potato panel? It sounds – what a great name.
We had a lot of fun trying to come up with alliterative words for potato. Yeah, with potato.
So at one point we were calling it Pat's Perfect Potato Panel. But that got a little bit too much. So, so we have three commercial growers who have been really successful in the Juneau area, Ed Bajarski, Joe Orsi, and Joel Boss. And they're going to be a panel and talk about potato varieties for people to try. We're going to have a table with samples of all the potatoes that are labeled so people can see what they look like. There won't be tastes of all of them, but maybe people will bring dishes with some of the potatoes in them. And they'll be talking about the varieties. They'll be talking about how to grow them successfully and how to store them. So potatoes are one of the most favorite crops in Juneau because they grow so easily, and most people start out, if they have any space to grow potatoes, they will try that. So that's kind of what we used to be the garlic potluck every fall, but we're branching out.
Yeah, well, you're branching out. You're still going to have some information on garlic, though, I'm assuming.
Well, probably.
Yeah, why not, right? Because that's a big topic in Juneau,
I'm sure there'll
right?
be lots of dishes with garlic.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. That's so fun. And the event is free, like you said. It's open to the public. And anybody can show up for this potluck, which is pretty awesome. And so, Lauren, what have you been harvesting this fall?
I've had mixed success, but I've had potatoes.
Isn't that always the journey of the gardener?
Yeah, I think so.
So you've got potatoes.
I do have potatoes. This year I started, for the first time, I tried cabbage. So I have a really nice purple cabbage, some garlic. Some of it okay, most of it very small. That was the thing that was not too big a success. And peas. I grew shelling peas this year, and I had never tried that, and they grew great.
Nice.
Yeah, I had about three harvests, and I used them in a tortellini dish not too long ago, and they turned out great.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
And Pat, besides the lovely carrots that you brought me, what have you been harvesting?
Potatoes.
Potatoes are pretty staple, yeah.
Yeah, I have about eight varieties of potatoes. I don't plant a lot of potatoes, just one hill of each variety, but that's what I'm going to bring to show Saturday night. Nothing terribly unusual. I have an asparagus patch, which I dearly love, but it's been neglected this year. But, man, it's so good in the spring. Just pick those fresh asparagus. Just the usual stuff. Kale is always big this time of the year, so I'm expecting there'll be quite a few kale dishes at the potluck.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. Yeah. Well, this is so fun. This is going to be a wonderful event. It's the Share the Harvest Community Potluck. It's the Kunihidi Northern Light United Church tomorrow night, Saturday, September 28th. It starts at 5:30. Do people need to show up just at 5:30, or do they need to show up earlier? Just 5:30 is fine?
5:30 would be great, and if you show up too late, there may not be any food. So I would encourage you to get there.
Get there. Mm-hmm. and, of course, you can find out more at JunoGardenClub.com. And, of course, you can also call Pat. Is it okay for me to give your phone number out? It's 907-500-3366. If you have any questions about the potluck, 500-3366, or becoming a member of the Juneau Garden Club, getting involved, or in terms of the Saturdays that you'll be meeting all throughout the winter, which is awesome, and you have different topics and things. So that's really wonderful. What a great event, and I can't wait to cook me some carrots.
Go for it.
Thanks, Pat. I really appreciate it. Pat and Lauren from the Juneau Garden Club, tomorrow night, Share the Harvest Potluck. Thank you so much for being on Juneau Afternoon today. I really appreciate it. Sheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinoch John Martin, and the word this week is ch'ak.
Ch'ak.
That means eagle. And here's a sentence.
Yan da kin ch'ak.
The eagle is flying there. Let's hear it again.
Ch'ak.
Eagle. Gunesh Chish Tuchune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinoch John Martin was Tuckdane Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You're listening to Community Sport at Juneau Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We check in now with CBJ Parks and Recreation. I'm joined by Tara Patterson, Gunath Chisha Yigudi. Thank you so much, Tara, for coming in today. It's a pleasure to have you. Wasa Iati.
Thanks for having me.
Of
it's
course.
Great to be here.
Okay, so Augustus Brown Pool. Mm. How's it going? It's back into full swing or what?
Mostly, yes. Actually, yes. We've been open since the spring. We are into our most challenging time of the year, which is high school swim season. It's great for our high school athletes, but not so great for our staffing because we have a lot of employees who swim on the high school swim team,
right.
Which makes sense. So we have some scheduling changes coming up at both pools because of lack of staffing. We're actually closing some extra hours and have limited capacities at both pools. But on the flip side of that, we're offering a lifeguard class in the middle of October, and wanted to just put the word out for anybody who likes swimming, who's ever thought about, you know, maybe that might be a good fit for them. And that class is free if you put in an application to work with us. Otherwise, it's $250.
I see. And is the lifeguard position – so there's open positions for lifeguards, and the training classes to help people get experience in that. So if you're interested in that, you want to take the class, you can sign up. You don't – no charge.
Right.
What are the hours of something like a lifeguard? Is it a part-time position?
There's both. We have very part-time, like on-call. We have part-time, which can be anywhere from one shift a week to five. And then we also have full-time positions. So we are very flexible with our scheduling. And, you know, people who work for us get a free pool pass. So if you're just somebody who likes to swim and have thought, well, maybe I could, you know, help one day a week, every little bit helps. There's a couple little benefits there for employees too.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess we've been talking about this in so many different arenas, but, you know, jobs are – people need employees. The jobs are there if you want them, right? Are there other things besides lifeguard positions that you're looking for?
Absolutely. We have swim instructor positions open and front desk. And that free pool pass for employees is good regardless of which position you fill. So, we're at the point where starting next week at the downtown pool, we're closed, you know, 3 hours in the afternoon one day a week because we just don't have any staff to be there. It's definitely a need. And, you know, sometimes people come to work for us because they know it's a good thing for the community more than they need the paycheck that, you know, they might get from working one day a week.
Right.
Those people.
Yeah, we love those people. Is there an age limit? Do people have to be a certain age to be able to work?
We have staff as young as 14. You have to be 15 to be a lifeguard or a swim instructor. But we have staff as young as 14 and staff older than 70. I won't give away their age, but we have staff into their 70s and we love them too. So
okay.
We are an equal opportunity employer.
Absolutely. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I also know that I heard there's going to be a movie. What?
Yes.
Is it free? How do I get in? What movie is it? All this good stuff.
Oh, man. So we love Halloween and October at the pools. And so we're actually doing a movie at the downtown pool at Augustus Brown next Friday the 4th. But then we will also be doing a movie the 26th out at Diamond Park. So I'll talk about the one next week first because I have a lot more information on that. But I want to just give a little
teaser to
this big event we're going to be doing at Diamond Park at the end of the month. So next Friday, we will be showing Inside Out 2 at the Augustus Brown Pool. It's the first time we've ever done a movie at the Augustus Brown Pool, and I'm really excited about it. We will be – doors will be – Let me rephrase that. The movie starts at 6:15, but we will have the locker rooms open at 6. There is a maximum capacity of 75 people, so we encourage getting there early because basically it'll be like the first 75 people that come through the door can swim with us, and that's all we can take because if you've ever been in that pool, you know it's not that big.
So you're watching the movie while you're in the pool.
Absolutely.
That is so fun. Do you just turn the speakers up really loud, or how does that work?
Well, part of our renovation back last year was they put in this really great new sound system for the whole building. And so we've done the movies many times at Diamond Park before, and we have a system that projects the movie. But with Augustus Brown, we'll actually be able to use our fancy new speaker system for the movie. So you'll probably be able to hear it a little better than you can the movies at Diamond Park. The big movie screen goes in the middle in between the two pools, so you'll be able to see it from either pool that you're in.
And then is it also – does the sound also get – tunneled into underneath the water? Like, if, will I be able to hear things underneath the water?
Okay. No, unfortunately not. That would be pretty cool
if
we could do that,
though.
That'd be
interesting, like a big, you know, big scene where there's lots of sounds, like, burr, 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 you know, that'd be kind of interesting,
You
actually.
Still kind of feel it, at least with the movies at Diamond Park, you kind of
feel it in your body,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
the sound
even in
hits
the water.
Air, the waves, yep. And kind of reverberates against your body.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So 75 people can do that, and are there it's free?
No. So there is a sponsor, but the sponsor covers our costs that we pay to, because there's licensing fees.
For the fee. To, for the
right.
Fee, yeah.
So it's regular admission, but if you have like a pool pass, that works. Otherwise, you'd need to pay the $6 or $8 depending on if you're a
child. For that day. Okay.
Yeah.
So no extra thing on top of whatever the regular admission.
Correct.
Or if you have a pass already. And it's 75 people, that's the max.
Yes.
And it's so it's kind of like first come, first serve, or can I get a ticket in advance?
No, it is first come, first serve, but that's a great question. We are opening, you know, the doors will be open before 6 o'clock if you want to get there early, and we will have some activities that are kind of themed around the Inside Out 2 movie for kids to do in the lobby if you get there early.
Okay, great. And do you know what the movie is at the end of October?
Yes. I was hoping you'd ask me about that. So October 26th, we will actually be having two events that you can pre-register for at Diamond Park before the movie. It's a water pumpkin patch. So people are going to be able to the registration for that opens October 14th. 50 people per session. And we'll do two sessions. That'll be in the afternoon on the 26th. And so we're planning a bunch of fun events in the water, and then they get a pumpkin, they get to take it out and then go into the lobby and paint it. So
fun.
That is something we've never done before, and I'm really excited about it. We've got lots of fun games and prizes planned for that. And then that evening, we will have a movie at 6:15, and the movie is going to be Nightmare Before Christmas, which is one of my favorite Halloween movies.
Ooh,
technically,
wow.
I guess it's a Halloween and a Christmas movie. I guess
yeah,
that's why
both,
I love
yeah.
it.
But that's kind of fun. That's great.
Yeah. So that one is 100 people capacity. The pumpkin patch part is pre-register. The movie is the same thing where it's first come, first serve, first 100 people.
Great. And the pre-registration is available on the Parks and Rec website and all that?
Yes, it will be starting October 14th.
October 14th for the movie on the 26th, The Nightmare Before Christmas. But this is next week's Inside Out 2 is playing downtown at the pool.
Correct.
And, of course, you can find out more information at the Parks and Recreation website. You can Google it. It's the easiest way to find it. But you can also go to juno.org/parks-recreation-juno-pools. But I think it's easier just to Google it.
It is. Or junopools.org will also take you directly to the pool, the webpage for the pools.
For the pools.
Yes.
Okay. Junopools.org. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So you learn something
that's
new every day.
That's a fun one. Yeah.
Awesome. Tara, thanks so much for coming in today.
No worries. Thank
Gwyneth
you.
Tisch, we'll see you all next month. Really appreciate it. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we'll check in with the Juno Public Library.
Mark your calendars, Juno. KTOO Public Media has turned 50, and we're throwing an unforgettable all-night concert celebration Saturday, October 12th. Food trucks will keep you fueled as you enjoy 20 Juno artists spread across three stages at the Jack and KTOO's broadcast studio. Bring your friends, your family, bring your love of music and community. Get your tickets now at ktoo.org. 50 Fest, October 12th, sponsored by Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Let's celebrate 50 years of community together.
Thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And we finish this Friday with a visit from Jen Gardner and Katrina Wolford from the Juno Public Libraries. Hello, Gunath Cheese for being here. How's it going? Wasa Iati, what's up?
It's going well. Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, of course. It's so wonderful to have you. So what's happening at the library?
Yeah, we have a couple of contests going on at the library right now. So we are currently doing the library photo contest, and there's one more week. That contest ends on October 4th. This is an all-ages contest, so adults, kids, please feel free to submit as long as you are a Juno Public Library's patron. We've gotten some great submissions so far that have included Juno nature, pets. The only rule is that it really it just has to relate to libraries or reading and be taken in the Juno area in the last year. So we encourage you to go to our website and submit up to 3 pictures for that, and you will have a chance to win a local gift card of your choice if you win. And then we also have a bookmark contest going on. So this one is just for kids, preschool through high school age. You can find entry forms at all 3 of the library locations or on our website, juno.org/library. And winners for this contest will get a gift certificate to Hearthside Books, courtesy of the Friends of the Juno Public Libraries. This year, the theme for the bookmark contest is Level Up at Your Library, and you have until October 15th to turn those submissions in.
All right, so a few more weeks for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. I love the contest. I love the idea of getting creative with the photos in terms of the books. Right, and trying to figure out what that has to do with reading. And I don't know, I just instantly started thinking of creatures, like reading, doing something fun. I'm not a photographer, but just throwing my ideas out there for anybody who wants to use them.
Absolutely, and you certainly don't need to be a photographer to enter the contest. And the more creative you can get, the better for us. We are having a lot of fun looking at people's submissions so far.
I love that. And Katrina, what's up with you at the library?
Well, I'm always here when I'm here to talk about books. And so I have been reading some graphic novels and nonfiction, and I kind of wanted to just give a reminder to people. So reluctant readers of all ages, graphic novels and nonfiction are great. I brought 3 just to talk about briefly. One is about a young man who leaves a residential school, and kind of it's the journey of his life and his healing. There's a brand new amulet. I think it's maybe the 8th one out, which is a really popular series for a younger reader, like a kind of a fantasy hero's journey sort of a thing. And then I also brought a copy of The Great Gatsby, because we have a lot of really interesting illustrated classics in that graphic novel style. We've got some Kafka. Cormac McCarthy's The Road is coming out as a graphic novel.
So
lots of interesting stuff and really good collections at all 3 branches.
That's cool. What are the titles of the first couple books you mentioned?
The first one is Mangalaluk, and this is Northwest Territories.
Okay.
This one's brand new. It lives at the downtown library, and I will be returning it tomorrow. Amulet, this particular one is number 2 in the series, and this one lives downtown, but that we have those at all locations, different volumes. And the other one I brought was The Great Gatsby.
Right, The Great Gatsby. Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. I love it that you perfectly described me, reluctant reader. Like, well, I have the intention to read. I want to read. And then I get stuck not reading, right?
Right. You know, and I grew up reading comic books.
Yeah.
I mean, reading everything, but comic books are okay. Like, all of that stuff is great. And now, Boston, when I feel like I don't have time, like, I'll pick a short story because there's the gratification of reading it and finishing it.
Yeah, I love short stories.
Yeah.
Because then I do feel accomplished that way. And you get a collection and a theme that you like.
Sure.
So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Jen, is there any other events at the library this month that we want to know about besides the bookmark contest? Any of the usuals?
Yeah, so we have Theater Alaska's Henry V coming up. That's going to be on October 17th, Thursday, at the Valley Library at 7:30 p.m. They do an amazing job. It's always a full house, and these are our free shows that they put on, so we're excited to welcome them back. And then check out our calendar for more events. We have a monthly creative writing class for adults starting back up at the Douglas Library, our weekly story times at both the Valley and Douglas locations, and then then some other upcoming events, including an author talk happening later in October, some game days, some chess tournaments. So lots happening. The best way to find that is to go to juno.org/library, look at our calendar. And if you click on the print calendar option, then you can see just the library events going on.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's a good tip. That's a really good tip.
And then the other thing to note is that we are going to be closed for Alaska Day on October 18th. That's the next upcoming holiday. And then just to bounce back to what Katrina was saying about, you know, graphic novels being a great way for reluctant readers or anyone to engage with books, not just for kids, for adults too. Audiobooks are another great form of engaging with books, and we have free access to audiobooks through the Libby app. So if you have a library card, that's a great way to access both ebooks and audiobooks. And listening to an audiobook is a great way to engage with a book.
I know we talked about that Libby app before. It's really great. If you have a smartphone, you can get the Libby app, and you can just get it. It's free. And as long as you have a library card, you can check things out. And like you said, audiobooks, and put other books on hold or figure out how to get access to these things, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are still someone who has a CD player, we have audiobooks on CD, physical copies at the libraries as well. And we have a whole section of DVDs too. And all of those things are great. They're all just different ways of engaging with stories and written or auditory material. So,
and it's free. And it's free. That's the great thing. You just have to have a library card, and it's free. All that access to all that material is free. It's so great. Well, thanks for helping closing out September on this Friday. The Juno Public Library, you can find out all the information, as Jen said, the calendar, that little print, hit the print view, and you'll see just the library stuff, which I think is a great tip, at juno.org/library. Katrina, Jen, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderfully bright Juno weekend. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Gonna cheese.